Libby?
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Is that making that noise?
No, I just talked. Oh, the hum? No, that's the heating system.
That's what?
Heating system or whatever.
Oh. What time? Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought it.
We're at a conference?
Mm-hmm. Speaker.
Okay.
I guess we can get started. I'm Mike Coletta, Senator from Anchorage and Chairman of the Special Senate Committee on Alcohol and Alcohol Abuse. The balance of the committee is comprised of Senator Bob Ziegler of Ketchikan, Senator Bill Ray of Juneau, Senator Glenn Hackney of Fairbanks, and Senator Frank Ferguson of Cottonwood. We also have a House liaison to the committee, Representative Chris Lethine. They send their apologies. We've been having a very extensive meeting tour, and some of these individuals just cannot make home. We lost Senator Hackney after 4 days last night. He made part of the Anchorage run and caught an airplane to get back to Fairbanks. And this is the way it's been going. Representative Lethine made the last night meetings. We'll catch up with us in Gillingham later this evening. But they're here with us in spirit. Early this year, Governor Hammond introduced a package of legislation to point to what he felt was Alaska's number one problem, that was alcohol and alcohol abuse. He's been successful in pointing to the problem. Whether you concur with the package of legislation that he submitted is really not important. In fact, this committee will not discuss that package. If you're familiar with it, you're free to talk about it to us. But we, per se, will not pursue it. And let me tell you why. Since we now are almost all in agreement, and I'm certain that the citizens in Palmer will be as the rest of Alaska is, and suggest that this is Alaska's number one problem, then I can say, since we all are in agreement, that it is the number one social problem facing us, then we must work together as a unit and not create an atmosphere of this or that. Being people we dislike very much, being told to do things, but it's surprising how much empathy we'll put behind something that we thought about. So that's the point we want to get to. If I suggest to you that you do this, take offense, and so do I if you suggest it to me. But if together we decide, hey, you know, let's sweep down this floor when we're through, survive, effort, and we do it. So that's what we want to do. We've conducted the hearings in a different manner. We could not begin to accommodate every individual that would have input if we use the conventional hearing method. More importantly, that doesn't accomplish a solution to the problem, because what happens is that your point of view is stated. You present it, and you go sit down, and somebody else comes up with something that may be totally contradictory to what you said, and there's no cross-dialogue on it. It will become polarized. There may be an excellent idea in a presentation that we may not like the balance of what was said, so let's not lose that. So with that, could I suggest that anybody, right off the top of your heads, talk about the problem as you see it in Palmer. I don't know if Palmer has the problem. Boy, we sure do in Anchorage. And in Anchorage, it traverses not only the adult population, but the school population. And I heard some frightening statistics about an extremely early elementary age problem. I don't know what your situation is here. If you do have a problem, let's talk about it. I'm interested in suggestions as to how we can stem the growing tide of alcohol abuse, because it may help us in my town, and maybe some of the things that we've heard along the way will help you in your town. Who wants to go first? So
I come from Copper Center. This is the closest. I used to live here in Palmer.
Child saw mom and dad do it, so they want to try.
How do you suggest we get to teaching them? How can we do it?
Because people that could learn would be at one, would go to learn anyhow. You know, you could have class and if they want to go, they could go anyhow. So if they want to learn, they've done it in person, but the city is part of it. Things are free if you go get them, come on up.
I think you have to teach in school. I'm just saying that because experience I had with my kids, they came home from school after being involved in a drug education program and started asking me questions I couldn't answer. And so in order to be able to answer my kids' questions, I went and started doing some reading and started doing some education of my own. So I think my kids pushed me into getting more aware of drugs. And I think kids, if they came home from school talking to their parents about alcohol,
suggest something. We've heard quite often during the hearing process of community involvement. And let me use what you said as the example. If in fact alcoholism extends beyond being just an individual problem, the only thing I can parallel to is if there's a field of poison ivy outside, you can either post it to keep people out of it, or you can treat them as they keep going through, those that pick it up. But like the situation that you're referring to with the lady and the children, should we do something about that?
Midnight, when these people need help, you still have time for a year-old, 2 year-old, when they're sitting down and bringing the families, getting their own families, how they live. Here's why I look back and say, we need some laws and some treatment to protect those children, which we are not doing. We're definitely not doing. I can give you cases and examples throughout this valley, and the United as well, where there's 5 to 7 children in that family, where they have lived with the alcohol, adult, the whole scene. It's very, very sad. We have a girl in the hospital now that has lived in a family of alcoholics who tried to kill herself. She wouldn't be there if that had been happened years ago, like we insisted here in the valley. I put some 20 years here myself. We have a dead child here that was killed in an automobile accident last year. This was an alcohol connected. These things are connected with the alcohol and narcotics, also one as bad as the other, of course. Now, where do we start? Where do we start? We have to start with some teeth in the law, I think. We have to have something here to protect those children that were washing their minds out of their heads through this media. I have a 15-year-old girl hiding out right now in the valley through incest in her own home. I'm going to get her a complaint about this, in fact, sure about it. Because her father has been using her over a period of time, raping her right in her own home with her mother there, and out of fear, her mother is doing nothing about it, really hiding out right now. What do we do about things like this? I think it's a pretty sick situation. We have to look at the facts all the way around. The alcohol, yes, it's a very, very serious thing. The valley, more serious than it's language. Now, I work language, and I've worked here. I've dragged more people out, alcoholics in this valley, than any one person. I have people that are working here and holding good jobs today that I have dragged out. They're alcoholics, and nobody in this room would know it. I do, because I've worked with them 3 grads. I've taken them into my home, I've dragged them out. I've taken them to the doctor, physical examination, got medication to bring them off, got them on their feet, and now they're back amongst the living because they are dead, shaped their hands. The only people, there's only one of me, and very few of us in the valley are capable of doing those things. Today I'm a single lady and I'm not capable of doing those things.
What kind of laws would you suggest? What kind of laws would you suggest?
For example, if I have a headache, let's say I have a man, woman, or whatever it may be, they could abuse themselves, and they're not in condition, they're not capable of making a decision on their own, which we know they're not, which I had this to happen to me about an anchorage. Nobody wants this man because he isn't dried out yet. They want you to wait for 24 hours to bring him in. Now the man's wide open, his head laid wide open. I have him in my hand, but I have nothing to do with him. I have another patient in the hospital when I'm supposed to be with him. All right. Nobody wanted him. I called the police 3 times, bring the ambulance to him, they came in and said, would you please go over to so-and-so with us? And he said, no, I'm not going. They can't do anything about it because there's no law saying they can pick this man up and take him. They cannot do that. That's one of the things that should be looked at very hard now. Right? Because then you have a case out here, say, for instance, with the family of the alcoholic parents, and you have children that are abused. They will not remove them from the home. They will not remove those children from the home. You say, well, they're maiming them, they're beating them. They said, we have to see them do that. Hey, what kind of a law is that? And the child is black and blue all over. We had a bad case of that right in Anchorage. Hey, nobody wanted to touch this. These 2 children, we've seen the 2 children. The one little girl was about 6 years old. The mother took the child by the arm, twisted the arm up around her neck, and took her running across the field like this and stomped the child. Nothing was done for that little child. And this was through alcohol and narcotics. We've seen them using their stuff and everything. Yeah, I called everybody in Anchorage to get some help on that, and I was frustrated and I was angry. I had to see this with my own eyes. Brutality. 5 other people looking at it as well as witnesses, and nothing was done. 7 children here in the valley that have been with an alcoholic mother and others. Down the line, went outside, went to California, was brought back here. The welfare is still pampering the situation, and one of her daughters is trying to get this. Goes on and on when you're working in the field. There are people that are just going to work every day as much as the time probably goes. But doctors do, the nurses do, the hospitals. But they cover up. You see those things in the paper? Did you see where a girl tried to commit suicide the other night? No, you did not. because it's covered up, and it should not be covered up. The people should know their problems, and that we do need to help look after our brothers and our sisters. And until we come to that, you can put all the keeping the laws you want to. You can put, you have to have a heart in there. You have to have a desire to work and help your fellow man that's in terrible condition. An alcoholic is a very sick person. I agree with you. They need to have a place to go away from people, away from their own environment. They must have this to get well. They need at least 90 days. They need the first 30 to start thinking. They can't think. The next 30, they will start to think just a little bit. Now, I have worked with Seymour Institute in Long Beach, California. That's one of the top places in the state and in the country on alcoholism. I'm a psych nurse for 38 years. I have worked in the field of narcotics, psychotics, and alcoholism. I took special training. We had a program there that worked. It was a very expensive program. It was not a state program where I worked. But it worked because the judges worked with us and the people worked with us and we were experienced people to talk to the alcoholics. You can't go out and convince an alcoholic. It takes a person with experience and has a tolerance for an alcoholic that can put up with their abuse and their cursing of you in such as this. You must be able to be a strong person to work with an alcoholic and convince the alcoholic that you can. It isn't just to give you tens of thousands and $1 million. And just to all make back the money for the time. You will have people that know what they are doing to work with the alcoholic to win that ball game. Plus the teeth in the law. Plus the money in backbone and people involved. We have people here now that are involved. They have a program that they're trying to put up. A man is working without a salary. This man cannot afford to work without a salary. He has to support his family. We need quick money. How do we get those things, Mike? To help us do something when we're ready to do.
Okay, that's another area. How we're going to do it. How do we put people in the treatment? Are you suggesting that we're going to put them whether they wish to go or not? I don't know.
It's hard to have that view in there.
When you have someone who has not the ability to make some rational decisions, you get somebody who's drunk, you can't tell him. He wets his clothes, that's rational.
You're a professional provider. I understand we have a doctor in here.
Ivy.
Is there a medical definition of any sorts that constitutes an alcoholic? I don't know. You know what's going through my mind? Is an alcoholic an individual who doesn't have the ability to perform certain tasks on Saturday night? I don't know who drinks in here. But I have an occasional one. But on Saturday night, for whatever reason, if I had too many, I don't know, is there a difference between my imbibing to a greater degree that Saturday night, although it's occasional, and the guy that does it continuously? And how does the chief distinguish between I'm the occasional guy and you're the habitual, and they're going to send me away for 90 days? I don't know. Doctor?
To answer the question, as far as the definition of alcoholic, I would say it was a matter of degree, and I don't think you can have a very difficult time sitting down and defining an alcoholic. I've read things where they said, well, if you answer yes to 15 out of 20 of these questions, you're an alcoholic, but that's
right, I've seen that.
It's kind of vague, too. As far as, of course, if somebody's drunk, if you say they're incompetent if they're drunk enough, but tomorrow morning they're going to be competent again unless their brain is so pickled from drinking for 20 or 30 years or whatever. They're not competent even when they're sober, which I've seen a fairly goodly number of these folks in this area. But such a difficult area that I'm not even prepared to really discuss it. For one thing, you know, the Alcoholics Anonymous people who've had more success with anybody than anybody in dealing with alcoholics, the main thing they say to me is, does the person earnestly desire help? If he doesn't earnestly desire help, it's just like it's just such a futile thing, such a discouraging, futile thing to do to try to help them. So if you're talking about putting somebody against their will, actually, into a facility, okay, for the protection of children and so forth, certainly I think it's an area we gotta pay some close attention to. That's important. But as far as trying to rehabilitate them against their will, well, it's awfully hard to rehabilitate them when they're begging for help, much less also built
I'd like to kind of just run through a system of what I'd like to see for a hospital administrator. We get them in the hospital, and the doctors take care of them in the hospital, get them dried out. And I'd like the doctors to be able to call a guy like Jim Crawford, have Jim come in and talk to the individual, look into what he needs for rehabilitation, and be able to go with, because he has the manpower to do it, go a little farther, go look at the home situation, or the governor's health or somebody else's health, see what the kids are like, see what's going on in the house. If there is an indication of child abuse or something else going on, have the laws available to him to be able to get a whole situation set up where the kids can be taken out of the family for a period of time while experts look into it to see exactly what's going on. And then carry on from there in the rehab, the alcoholic, help for the children, help for the wife, etc. We don't go deep enough right now, Mike. We skim the top. We draw him out. Jim, fortunately, now that we've got him around, takes him into Anchorage to a rehab program, but we're only dealing with that top. We need some way that he can look down deeper and have the laws behind him where he can get those kids out of the home if there is a bad situation. That's what I'm saying.
Now, then you're going to start going into, if both the parents are alcoholic, all right. If one of the parents is alcoholic, then you would take the children right to the parent.
No, but we can go in, and usually if one of the parents is alcoholic and the other isn't, the other one needs help. You know, like it's a husband that's an alcoholic, and the wife, she's got the kids, and she's trying to deal with the situation. If someone could come in like you to help her in how to deal with him and how to protect the kids, I think we'd help an awful lot. That individual probably keep her from becoming an alcoholic if she's not already. I think we'd find out a lot.
See, like in our home, there's one of us is a teacher and the other one is an alcoholic. So, are you going in and taking the children? No. Myself, I don't look at them like that. I've got to have much.
No, I don't mean to take kids away. Only in those cases where we see that it's needed.
For a screen child abuse.
For a screen child abuse. In your case, what we want to do is help you as much as we could deal with the problem. We're specialists.
Yeah, we're experts. And I've talked a lot.
But I think the legislature needs to look at the thing as a total system, like not just how do you treat the person with the problem. You know, start at the top and work down to the kids. Provide the laws that allows us experts, only the experts, to pull a kid out when it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, this is the type of discussion. This is why all of these hearings have been conducted in this manner. We just don't want testimony pertaining to the situation. It must be discussed. It's a family and really a community type impact illness. It just affects so many people. But how do we do it without infringing upon the rights of the individual? And this is what we're getting to.
Now, I'm an alcoholic, and I had to go in pretty good walking until I could go into detox. And I wanted it so bad, I sat in there. There's a lot of people that are not going to sit in and walk in until they can get into a detox. So right now, I'm going through a program which can't even get in Alaska. And why? Because our state has enough money to have a program like this. But we don't. We're not getting under. I sat through a 30-day getting a psychological, program at AATC, and I really was screwed up, and I really did go get drunk after that. And so now I go out to Raleigh Hills, this is Spokane, Washington. I went through their program. I go out, it cost me $3,000 to get the program. Cost me $3,000 for the plane ticket by the time I get done with this program. But it's worth it to me to be sober and to be myself and to be with my kids. But I got active. You can't just go through this. You've got to have a program which is started down in the valley with AA. I got into that too. But we have to have something there to go to. Before I went into the detox center, there was wasn't anything here. There wasn't even AA here. And here we are 60 miles, you know how the roads are, how to get into this, you know, these programs. There wasn't even anybody I could contact to find out to get help. I knew I wasn't right. My husband was working away, and I was in charge of my children. And I wasn't capable.
You went to a, you were a volunteer.
Yes, I wanted help.
You found something for yourself. You followed through.
Yes.
What is the individual that doesn't do that?
Yes.
The system of requirement and the civil rights aspect.
Before, you know, before I went to the detox center, before I got my head clear enough to know that I had to do something about it, I was going to volunteer and not anybody.
Then what if somebody came? The chief went to the judge, and the judge signed an order, and they came to take you into the treatment facility.
But this, if this happened, I had DWI, and I...
Some love. That's dealing with a 7-year-old. That's also dealing with a drunk.
But until the existing structure, until that intoxicated person does something, the chief's hands are tied.
That's right.
He can watch him. He runs surveillance. He can't pick them up until they do.
At this point,
right.
What I'm saying is, when that is spotted, police can know when somebody's not working at their proper level of function. They know. That guy's staggering, walking back across the street. Maybe he's wetting on the wall. Maybe he's punching windows out. Those are obvious things that nobody can convince. Hey, get that guy. You know, maybe that's the time, like this young lady, she finally had an opportunity to disappear. Put this guy over there, and he's drunk, okay? But when he gets sobered up, as he's sober, because alcohol is leaving his body, there's a critical period where that guy is vulnerable to anything. If a cat walks in, he's wearing combat boots. People are aware of that. At that point, that guy can be convinced to walk the wall if he wanted to. And if it's a habitual thing, then that's the time to get into treatment. Okay, man, you want to go to treatment? You're hurt. You don't want to hurt anymore? Okay, come on. Okay, if this is not a habitual thing, this is a guy that's just been drunk. Okay, now you've got to find him. You know what you did. You know why you did it. If you don't, maybe you need to go over here and see these people who can evaluate your situation. Maybe
you're not. How do you know that it's habitual? How does the chief know?
Because
that's habitual with that person that he sees on the street.
Because of an evaluation. Anybody that comes into any police department who has any alcohol-related offense needs to get through an evaluation process right away. If not,
so
you're going
to
miss it.
There's a criteria that has to be established.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm not talking.
To go into history or a record.
Well, that, he was talking about, drinking just like on the weekend.